1 Timothy 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus, in order that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation, rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. For some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. But we know that the law is good, if one uses it lawfully, realizing the fact that law is not made for a righteous man, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. And yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. And yet for this reason I found mercy, in order that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may fight the good fight, keeping faith in a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered over to Satan, so that they may be taught not to blaspheme. 1 Timothy 1, 18 and 19. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. To get a more complete understanding of the two letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, it would help to have a bit of the background as to the special relationship that they shared in the Lord. I feel that it would be appropriate to convey some of the history of Timothy and the influence that the Apostle Paul had in his life as a man of God. In the course of this overview, we will touch upon many of the verses that are contained in these letters, hopefully gleaning a clear understanding of what these passages speak to us today. Timothy and his mother Eunice and grandmother Lois were led to the Lord by Paul on one of his early missionary journeys. Timothy's mother was a Jewess and his father was a Greek. We do not know if his father died early on or just left, since there is nothing more recorded about him. Timothy was raised by his mother and grandmother in the strictest teachings of the Scripture. They were very devout women who loved the Lord. As Paul writes in 2 Timothy 1:5, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." His grandmother and mother kept Timothy schooled in the Scriptures. Timothy developed into a very learned young man, according to the Septuagint, as to know the Holy Scriptures daily. As well, Timothy had earned the respect of the brethren in Christ by becoming a trusted messenger between the churches. These might be some of the reasons that Paul, on his next journey through Lystra, took such an interest in him. Together, they could discuss the Scriptures on both an educated and a heartfelt basis that Paul, as a scriptural scholar, could not often find. There was something about Timothy that struck the heart of the Apostle Paul. Even his name, Timothy, meant honoring God. Paul took Timothy with him as his aide and helper from that journey onward. One of the things that Paul did was to circumcise Timothy so that he would be acceptable to the Jews for the sake of Timothy's safety. After all, Paul continually presented the gospel to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. If Timothy had not been circumcised, it could create a great issue with the Jews, as was demonstrated later in Acts 21, 27 and 28, referring to Paul's return to Jerusalem. "And when the 7 days were almost over, the Jews from Asia, upon seeing him in the temple, began to stir up all the multitude and laid hands on him, crying out, 'Men of Israel, come to our aid. This is the man who preaches to all men everywhere against our people and the law and this place. And besides, he has even brought Greeks into the temple. It's into the temple and has defiled this holy place.'" On another level of consideration, Timothy, having been raised by his grandmother and mother, would have lacked the male influence of maturity in his early life. This would become the basis for much of the Apostle Paul's admonitions and encouragements to Timothy in these two letters. In dealing with Timothy as a father would his son, in supplying that male influence that was and very much still is needed for a complete maturity, Paul even refers to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:2 as "my true child in the faith." Throughout these two letters, Paul regards Timothy in terms as a true father would his beloved son. 1 Timothy 1:18, "Timothy, my son." 1 Timothy 6:20, "O Timothy." 2 Timothy 1:4, "Timothy, my beloved son, I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy." 2 Timothy 2:1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." 2 Timothy 3:14, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them." We find Paul urging Timothy in the same chapter, in verse 9, "Make every effort to come to me soon." And in verse 21, "Make every effort to come before winter." Another aspect of Paul's tutelage over Timothy's development as a man of God was evidenced in the manner in which the Lord worked to ordain Timothy for the ministry. The members of the church, with the deepest insight into character and speaking with prophetic utterance, considered Timothy as called into the ministry. as is recounted by Paul in 1 Timothy 4:14. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. As well in 2 Timothy 1:5 and 6. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. And for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And 2 Timothy 4:5. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Timothy spent the rest of Paul's lifetime in assistance to his spiritual father in their mutual service to the Lord. They shared many trials and tribulations and triumphs, much heartache and joy, much opposition and hardship, as well as tremendous victories of the power of Christ on their journeys. The majority of biblical scholars even consider that Timothy was imprisoned with Paul during his first Roman imprisonment. Paul trusted Timothy's love of the Lord and would send Timothy ahead on the journey to prepare the churches for the teaching of Christ. He would use Timothy to deliver messages and counted on Timothy to bring back honest reports of the churches and of their activities. He would send Timothy to settle strife and disputes and to stem false teachings from taking root within the churches. One example of this trust of Paul and Timothy is recorded in Philippians 2:19-22. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Eventually, Paul sent Timothy to Ephesus to oversee the development of that church. There had been various reports of false teachers infiltrating the faithful, and Paul wanted a reliable servant of God to be there, to stand firmly embedded in the Lord. Paul's letters to Timothy are filled with admonition and recognition of the people and the elements and the teaching that would be confronting Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example to those who believe. 1 Timothy 1:19-20, keeping faith in a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered over to Satan, so that they may be taught not to blaspheme. 2 Timothy 2:16-18. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and thus they upset the faith of some. 2 Timothy 4:14-15. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. And in a sadly final lament in 2 Timothy 1:15, You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. With regard to the continued encouragement of Timothy's ministry, Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4:14 through 16, "Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through prophetic utterance, with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them, so that your progress may be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you." And in 1 Timothy 5:21, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of His chosen angels to maintain these principles without bias, doing nothing in a spirit of partiality." As well, he tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:11, "But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness." Timothy was urged by the last recorded words of the Apostle Paul to come to Rome quickly. Paul recognized that his time was coming to a swift completion. He wanted to see his son Timothy one more time before Paul became a martyr for the sake of Jesus Christ. The entire second letter contains that communication of one spiritual heart to another. Within it, there is a tremendously deep relationship that is based on mutual spiritual intimacy with God and with each other. These are tremendous encouragements that we find active in our hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:12 through 14. "For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me, in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you." 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15. "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." 2 Timothy 4:1 and 2. "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." 2 Timothy 4:1. 5 through 9. "But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing, make every effort to come to me soon. And 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We do not know if Timothy arrived in Rome in time to be with Paul before he was beheaded. We would like to believe he did, but that would be mere speculation. We do know, however, that the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, as taught so fully and faithfully over that 20-year intimate, spiritually rich relationship, did bear fruit in Timothy. After Paul's death, Timothy became the leader of the church at Ephesus and probably the overseer of all the churches of Asia. He was only around 35 years old, as most historians calculate it, when he was given the responsibility to care for these churches by the Apostle Paul. Timothy served the Lord faithfully and fully until his death at the hands of a mob in Ephesus. It was during the festival of Artemis. Timothy, as head of the church, was standing against the perverse and immoral activities that were taking place. A mob of Artemis's worshipers formed and beat Timothy to death with clubs, thus making him as well a martyr for the sake of the Lord. Paul and Timothy shared that most special relationship of friendship and intimacy in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the writings of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, we see every characteristic necessary to communicate the fact that Paul loved the Lord with all his heart. In that love, he adopted Timothy as a spiritual son. As they shared together through all that befell them, the testings and trials only served to strengthen and to solidify their relationship in Jesus Christ. Their relationship had its basis first in Christ and their love for Jesus and in the Word, and their shared love of God's Scripture. They prayed together, and they wept together, and they rejoiced together, and they preached the gospel together. They worked tirelessly within the churches to bring to the forefront the mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory. That was their rapport. This is the relationship that we are called into in Christ Jesus, one with each other. This is that life established in oneness in the Lord Jesus Christ that stands against all the onslaughts and attacks. This is that good fight of continued and unhindered faithfulness unto our Lord and Savior. I pray that this spiritual intimacy and faithfulness will ever be our heritage as one in Jesus Christ. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Amen.